And there are many commercial symbols of Christmas. Some of them are very dubious, but I always say, let's extract from them what God is trying to teach us. Let's turn tables on those symbols rather than be depressed by them. And the candy cane has long been a symbol of Christmas. I had a lot of trouble getting the red, white and green. I could find these. But I felt the Lord say to me, that is only half the message. He said, that's the full message, and I'll explain. There's been a handout given to you. I'm a teacher, can't help handouts. But I just thought the scriptures, because that is the word. God left us the word. He didn't leave us alone. When Jesus died on the cross, we are not alone. So the first thing, when you look at this, you turn it and you get a J. Jesus, the Son of God. The nativity scene is such a privilege and a blessing, and it is fast disappearing from many of the Christmas things around the world. But let us not lose sight of it. We go to Scripture, John 3:16-18. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Christmas is the greatest gift God gave us, was his Son. He gave everything to us. He tried to reach out, he tried to call us, and yet the world rejected him. And he said, I have one last thing to give you, and that's my all, my Son. Christmas without the cross, and on the back you'll notice I put the cross, is not the full meaning. The Messiah we worship is not in a manger. He is not on the cross. He is a resurrected Christ. And we must remember that. And he died for our sins. No matter what pit or darkness you are in, no matter how far you've wandered from the cross this year, no matter what, he says, I came because I love you. The motive for the cross is love. But we need to respond to that. The last verse there read is, if we do reject him, we are condemned. But if we accept him, what a blessing. So today is a time to recognize our sin, bring it to the cross, because he is faithful. He loves you. There is no sin greater than the cross, because the cross trumps everything. So today is a time to reflect and love and be loved, because God loves you. J is for joy, because knowing this should bring us joy and peace. In the foyer, there's also a little piece of ribbon, and I'll refer to this later for anyone that wants one of those. But let's look at Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The triune, God the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit fills us with joy. As Pam alluded to, many people have buried people. In my own Bible study group, three ladies have lost their husbands this year. And I've got friends that have buried children. And yet, there's an inner joy, though you grieve. And that comes from God. The shape of the cane represents a shepherd. And I've had the privilege and blessing of doing this Christmas story with Sunday school children over the years. And I call it a privilege. John 10:14. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. In the nativity scene, you see sheep, and you see Jesus. This is a symbol of power and love at the same time. Many times when I was a little girl, I used to look at the nativity scene of the shepherds, and you thought of these people floating around and they were just singing songs. In fact, when Jesus said, I am the true shepherd, a shepherd was the most courageous being in Matthew, Luke, John Gospel. Because you remember, imagine being given a mob of sheep in the middle of the night to look after. Dingoes, bears, lions want the sheep. And you have no weapons but the crook. A shepherd must be extremely courageous. They are not floating around weak. When Jesus said, "I am the true shepherd," he is saying, "I will protect you because there are things prowling to kill you. Stay close to me because they will get you." And King David said he had killed with the bare hands a lion and a bear. And he was a precursor of a shepherd that Jesus would now become for us. The devil prowls to take you, but we are his sheep. And it tells us what to do. Stay close. Know his name. Because when you step out of that safety zone, you do it at your own peril. This is not a symbol of weakness, but strength. And it would be used to crook the sheep's leg back in line. But it would also be used to protect. I grew up with sheep. They are very wayward animals, like us. And it says, "I know my sheep." So if you start with John 3:16, come close to God. You'll hear his voice. And he also would lay down his life for one sheep that wanders off, and you and I may be that one sheep. And he'll come and get us. So Christmas is a time to return if you've wandered. Listen to him. The red colour represents our sins. And all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us. And we often do it daily. In what we say, what we don't say, what we think, what we didn't think. And one would say it's hopeless then. Absolutely. Without God, yes. But with God, it's full of hope. The red colour represents sin and the blood of Jesus. The white colour represents the forgiveness of our sins when we repent. Isaiah 1:18-20. "Come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good things of the land. But if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." So today, whatever is separating us from God, the answer is God, his son, repentance. And then that just lifts the sin off your soul, and you have this wonderful peace that surpasses all human understanding. As I said, the two candy canes differ by one colour, the green. Because many people say, once they're saved, what now? Live for God. He died for us so that we may live for him. The green colour represents the new life in Christ Jesus we receive when we repent and are saved from our sins. The green tree, the pine tree, the fir tree, remains green in the snow. There's a reason why we refer to that tree. Despite the hardships of life, rejection, pain, shame, we can remain green in the snow. Deuteronomy 30:19-20. "This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you, and I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice and hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life. And he will give you many years in the land he swore to give your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." You have to choose life or death. John 15:5-8. So how do we choose life? "I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." One of the stories I read, the fruit mince pies represent that we bear fruit. Because of God's great love, we are saved so that we can bear his love to others and bear good fruit. Fruit has seed in it. It passes on to your children, your neighbours, friends. That's what good fruit looks like. So that when we pass into the kingdom, if we know the Lord, our fruit remains in others, just like his fruit remains in us while we abide in him. John 15, 16 to 17. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other. He's done the greatest gift. He is not in the manger. He is not on the cross. We remember those. He is risen. And he will come again. Reading Nehemiah this week, and many of you know my Italian background, Christmas is food and a bit more food, because if you haven't eaten for 10 minutes, you might starve. And it's really about celebration and sharing. Over the years, I've had the privilege, after my mother died in a car accident, of having Christmas become sad. I made a decision, and I was blessed my family supported me, that Christmas was no longer going to be sad. We would open our home to many. And over the years, we entertained strangers. Sadly to say, I don't even remember some of them because they were in different parts of my house. And people would say, weren't you afraid? I said, are you crazy? We've got 20 mad Italians in this house. Why would I be afraid? Many of those have gone to be with the Lord. And it was a blessing. If they were alone, we brought them home. And we were more blessed than them. My kids met people they would never have met. It was a blessing and has always been a blessing. In Nehemiah 8, 10 to 12, Nehemiah said, after they built the 52-day wall, it's 52 weeks in the year. We're coming towards the end of 52 weeks. It's Christmas. We've done nearly 52 weeks of the year. Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The Levites calmed all the people, saying, be still, for this is a holy day. Do not grieve. Then all the people went away to eat and drink, to send portions of food, and to celebrate with great joy. Because they now understood the words that had been made known to them. There's the Christmas message hidden for us in Nehemiah. We are to share. It's okay to give gifts. It's okay to receive them. Because when we give a gift, it should be because we are thinking of the person to whom we are giving it to. It's not just a gift anymore. It's about love. When God sent his son, he didn't send just anyone. He sent the most precious gift to us. So sometimes people say gift giving shouldn't happen, I believe it's the motive in our heart that should motivate our gift. So the value and the size of the gift becomes irrelevant. It's the intent. And when we look at the gift was given free, sometimes we associate that God's life was cheap. It wasn't. He had to give it to us free because we could never pay it off. It's freely given. We need to respond to the gift. And it also says, give to those that do not have. You may ring somebody, you may text someone, you may bring something to them tomorrow. You may think of a neighbour, a friend that you have seen alone. And you may bring them something and say, my Father in heaven sent me. So here it is in Nehemiah. And if you look at the bottom of that sheet, you'll see the cross. We are on our way to Easter already. That may sound a little bit odd, but the cross is the final victory over sin. And it should encourage us. And as you look at this today, and you leave, and we leave to go to our loved ones or wherever we may go, I would ask that we would look at this in the terms of joy. Jesus first. And when you put Jesus first, you put others in perspective in your life. And why stand for yourself relative to that? That is the true joy of Christmas. And it starts with Jesus. It starts with recognizing how much he loves us. As I said, and as the word has spoken, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord shine upon you. May you recognize that God has used all these people in our lives. And the last thing on the shepherds, because sometimes people would look at them and look at them as being dirty. He did not use shepherds because he had no one else. He used them because they knew the night sky better than anyone else. They knew if a star was out of line. They were relevant. And in many times they were considered the lowest of low. They were not afraid to go to the stable because although they smelt, they were allowed to go to the stable. They were not afraid to travel by night because they lived by the night. Why bring them up again? Because we are here for God. When we choose to live for him, God has a purpose for you. Whether it be a shepherd, an older person, a young person. It's a very personal journey, but it is a very important journey. Otherwise, God would not have sent his son for it. So may the Lord bless you.